Hello and welcome to Inside Business, a podcast from the Irish Times. Today we're going walkabout. I'm going to take you on an exclusive tour of one of the biggest construction projects in Dublin, the 100 million euro redevelopment of the former central bank building on Dame Street. The project has been taken on by US real estate investment and development company Hines with its Hong Kong partner Peterson. I went to the site and I met Brian Moran, the country head in Ireland of Hines. Brian, thank you for letting us in, giving us a sneak preview, if you like, of what this building is going to be is going to look like. Tell us a little bit about the history of this from your point of view.
You're very welcome. Well, the project came up for sale as the central bank relocated back down to the docks. It's an interesting complex of buildings. You have a number three buildings along Dame Street, which are largely refurbished at this point in time, and then the very unique and iconic building designed by Sam Stevenson, the old central bank building. Unique because the building's actually hung, which is probably the only one in Ireland of that nature. The big heavy work is largely done at this point in time, and now we're starting to put the windows in, close it out, and in Dublin we'll get to see, you know, what will be quite a spectacular new plaza, renovated, expanded from what it was previously, and indeed the rooftop attraction, which will allow ultimately the public access to the roof to view the city.
Okay, I'm going to head straight up to the roof to begin our tour. Let's go.
Here we go.
So standing on the rooftop of the Central Bank, we're up on a plinth and we're facing south towards the Dublin Mountains. Right. Bit of a grim day, but you can certainly have a fantastic view of the whole of South Dublin City from this, certainly from this aspect. So what's actually going to be on top of the new Central Bank, if you like?
So when you arrive at the Central Plaza down below, you'll actually have two stairs, one going up to the office building and the other one going down to a slightly sunken plaza. And in that sunken plaza will be an entrance, and that actually will be the dedicated entrance to the rooftop. So you'll then go into that foyer, and then there'll be two dedicated high-speed lifts will take you right up to what effectively is about 14 stories up at the level we're standing at now. You come out into, you can see the size of the space, it's about 2,000 square metres, 20,000 square feet, which is a very, very big floor plate. You arrive in the centre here, and then there'll be a number of stairs will take you up to effectively a dining and drinking area with, again, in a glass shell, but uninterrupted views around the city. So when you go to dine, you go to drink, effectively you'll be able to sit down and get these views right over the city.
Now, after taking in the views of Dublin and its surrounding counties and getting a bit wet in the process, we went back down 8 flights of stairs to the ground floor, which has been completely transformed from its central bank days.
You can see in the foyer here, we've really opened it up. When you came in here, when the central bank was using it, there was so many security doors and, you know, barriers that you couldn't appreciate the original concept that Sam Stevenson had, which was a very grand entrance foyer, really high. You can see we've kept the original stonework, we'll be restoring that. And this area here behind us is where we've pushed out the glass a little bit more.
We're looking back towards Temple Bar
now. Temple
Bar,
so you have this big glazed window looking right at Temple Bar. And this would be, if you work in the building and you want to have a quick meeting or just, you know, without taking your clients upstairs, it'll just be a sort of lounge area for workers in the building to sort of hang out if you want.
Brian, for you, what do you think the special appeal of this building will be? Obviously, it's a great location and there's lots of history there, but the job you're doing here is going to take it to a new level.
The building itself, as you go through the floors, the views from the floors are quite spectacular. Every floor has, you know, uninterrupted views as you walk around the city. So in addition to that, as I mentioned, all around the ground floor area, there'll be bars, there'll be restaurants. You have a lot of amenities here as well. It's a perfect location. It is right at, you know, if you stick a pin on the map and say where, you know, is the most easily accessible place in the city, it's pretty much here.
The job is a really big one. A 45 by 50 metre building giving 8,500 square metres of office space.
That's a clip from a documentary about the central bank's construction in the 1970s, highlighting its architectural and technical sophistication.
Each base incorporates 40 tonnes of high tensile steel reinforcement and is 750 millimetres thick.
For Dublin, it was advanced for its day, but its construction was mired in controversy.
Sam Stevenson was very much the architect of the moment, and he conceived what he wanted to, it was an American-style building, you know, on Dame Street. That was 1969. And then it ran into challenges then because he built it, they hadn't fully contemplated all the trusses and the height of them, and when they started to build, it was noticed it was too big.
After many complaints that the building is exceeding its permitted height, construction is halted in October of 1974.
Eventually it was allowed to finish, but the trusses were left exposed and then subsequently covered. So his vision for the roof was never, it was always a bit of a little bit of half-baked up there. And then the central bank occupied this till they realized they needed new, more modern office space, moved to the docks, and then basically handed us the keys to it.
Brian, just tell us a little bit about Heinz's interest. Why did you choose the old central bank building? Because it is a protected structure, right? It's Sam Stevenson. A lot of people feel very fondly about it. It's been here a long time. Quite unusual in the landscape. Why did Heinz decide to take it on?
Well, first thing, we're very passionate about city centre mixed-use developments where you can combine office uses, residential, retail and restaurant uses all in the one type of building. We've no residential in this particular development, but those mixed-use city centre projects, and they often involve quite a bit of renovation. So this is no different. We obviously have to take on this project, but this particular building was completely different. As you say, it's not actually listed, but it is one that is considered by the planners protected. So we had to sit down with the City Council planners and go through the plans in a lot of detail before we got planning. And they effectively said, look, on balance, what we don't want to do is list it and prohibit getting the restoration done. Let's work with you. And as long as what you're doing to the building is fully, it works with the building, then we can live with that. One interesting thing was when we bought the building and we actually found the original drawings by Sam Stevenson in the attic, actually, they were stored here. And when we designed the roof profile, the final roof profile that would go back onto the building, the glass roof, is actually matching the original design that Sam Stevenson did, which never got built because, as you know, there was a controversy that he built it too high and he had to bring it back down. So we've managed to actually work with the original profile of the roof. Difference this time is the roof will be a glazed structure, so it illuminated at night and it will be where people will be able to go. Obviously, back in his day, he had designed it as a plant room.
Right, okay, and it's going to have the terrace as well. Now, we're in the middle of a housing crisis in Dublin. Why no residential?
So, but I suppose, to be honest, none of the floor plates of these buildings would have been really suitable for residential. You can see where we are right now is really a large open plan office space, and that would be the best use and indeed what the planners wanted for this building. The other buildings over there, again, are small in nature. You couldn't put a large residential development in it. So much better suited to office, retail, and food and beverage uses at the lower level.
Okay, so who's taking the offices and how many people will be in here when it's all fully kitted out?
So the office floors, we've already leased some of the other buildings. So AmTrust, a US insurance company, has taken a building over there on Dame Street. These floors, eight floors, are all leased to WeWork. People have heard of the company. A well-known brand in the sort of the co-working, sort of providing serviced offices to big corporations. So we think about 1,200 people will be working here when it opens.
Okay, now WeWork's been the headlines recently. They're in some difficulties at the moment. Are they still going to be occupying Central Plaza because they're pulling out of a lot of leases that they took?
Yeah, no, leases signed here. So we did that long before they ran into their current ECOP. So at this point in time, the intention is that they will proceed on and get this leased up. We understand they've already had very significant interest in the building from various tech companies. The building is, as you know, incredibly iconic. The views that we can see out the window here are in a Dublin context, unique. So we understand that some of their pre-marketing that they've done to various companies have been very, very, very strong.
Right. And you just realise, actually, looking out these windows, how low-rise a city Dublin is. What are your thoughts on that? As somebody involved with a company that's obviously in the United States, they tend to build tall in a lot of cities, and I'm sure Heinz have been involved in a lot of those projects over the years.
Correct. Well, I think for a long time in Dublin City, we've been very cautious about height. I think that's correct in the Georgian areas, the low-rise areas of the city. I think we've maybe handicapped ourselves in terms of developing as a city, not going higher rise. It's quite interesting when you speak to the average guy on the street. They'll walk into La Défense in Paris, or they'll go to walk down Fifth Avenue in New York and be actually like the buildings and think the context is very nice, but yet it seems to have been an issue that in Dublin that wasn't acceptable. Look, that's changed now, and I think over the next number of years we're going to see a number of higher-rise buildings start to emerge, hopefully in the right locations, like in the Docklands or to the west of the city over towards former brewery lands and the other lands over there towards the Guinness Brewery. You'll see higher-rise buildings emerge in due course.
So a very extensive and a very complex refurbishment of this building. What's the price tag?
On this building?
On this building, this development.
Ooh, in terms of the order of magnitude of renovation costs, it's certainly going to hit around 100 million by the time it's fully renovated.
Wow. So that's in excess of what was initially reported. It's something around 75 million, I think, was initially speculated upon.
So that's the acquisition cost, if you want, buying it. But then in terms of I'm really focused on the actual construction renovation costs.
Right. So 75 to buy, 100 to renovate.
In and around those numbers.
In and around those numbers, okay. So how long before you get your money back on a project like this?
Well, look, we're 80% leased now, which is great. So we have visibility on 80% of the income. We've another 20% to go, which is some of the last few shops. We think the retailers will take a little bit of time. We'd have to be closer to being finished to get them on board. But then at that point in time, we will have contracted rent that is a very strong return on our money. So we are, in this particular case, our business plan with Peterson is to sell once we've completed. So, but we need to get to that point in time first and get the income fully stabilised, get the building finished, and then more than likely we would transact the building on the market.
Sure. So when do you open for business here?
So we'd see the first elements of this finishing next summer. So I'd say sort of August or so. And then I imagine the tenants will be fitting out till, you know, around this time next year. So you'll see a phased occupation from the end of the summer through to Christmas.
So 2021 really before the building is mostly occupied?
Correct. But for example, the plaza that we spoke about, you know, that'll be finished. So that'll be back open to the public by, I guess, the end of the summer.
Right. Okay. Now tell us a little bit about Hines. Where did it come from, if you like? And there's a characterization of overseas property investment companies at the minute as vulture funds or as cuckoo funds coming in, buying up land or projects in Ireland for cheap, doing them up maybe, or flipping them on for a big profit.
Hines is kind of, well, it's a unique company globally in the sense that it is not just an investor, we're a developer, we're an asset manager. And in many cases, we provide services to companies in real estate just for a fee. So we're an independent provider, if you want. The company was founded by Jerry Hines in 1957 in Houston during the initial oil boom down there. And he eventually spread out across the United States and then took the company global. We operate in retail. We operate in residential, so in student housing, residential developments. We're in data centers, industrial, and we're probably one of the biggest office owners in the world. So it's a very multifaceted company. In terms of how we fund ourselves or where we get capital, we have many different sources of capital. Some where large pension funds commission us to do large projects with them. For example, we have a very big partnership with Dutch pension fund here in Dublin, APG, where we're building a lot of residential to rent. On the other hand, we work with Peterson, a Hong Kong-based investor on this particular deal. So we are very much, for many investors, a go-to, if you want, partner, where they're looking for somebody with real estate experience, real estate skill, and they want to co-invest with us on these projects.
And what do you say to the characterization by some of overseas investors as vulture funds?
Look, there's no question that when the market crashed here, you know, there's the firm, the phase is used, whether it's fair or not is another issue, but there are people come in and buy distressed debt with the view to the market recovering and then selling that distressed debt. That's long over here now. I mean, I think the market has recovered. So what you're seeing right now is that a lot of the funds that came in during that distress time are exiting to longer term investors, pension funds. Indeed, a lot of the current activity in the marketplace, in the commercial market, is with long, you know, German pension funds, Dutch pension funds, who are the long-term stable type investors that any advanced economy would love to have, because they're not coming in and out. They're providing, you know, a lower cost of capital, looking for longer term returns. And what I'm seeing right now in the market is the vast bulk of all transactions are being driven by that type of money.
What's your view of the Irish economy? What's the Hines view of the Irish economy right now? Because there are fears that the property market here is starting to get frothy again, that we may be heading back to the kind of bubble that we had in the Celtic Tiger years, and fears of another recession or another crash.
Yeah, I think it's interesting statistically. And our research department at Hines looks at a lot of statistics. They'd say, well, we're due a cooling off period, or because if you want, the recovery here has been a much longer cycle than would be normal. I think, though, if you look at a lot of the fundamentals, the economy is going well. Employment is good. You know, retail spend is up. So actually, there has to be some sort of a slowdown, but it's not going to be a big one, or it's not going to be a crash of any form. It'll just be a natural slowdown while the cycle recalibrates, because the fundamentals remain very strong in terms of FDI investment here, productivity, education, all the positive things you have in this country, and indeed immigration. The fact we're very receptive to it and seem to be able to bring in as much labour as we need for all the businesses that want to recruit people from abroad. So very positive, but I think at any moment of time over the next number of years, we would expect a slowdown for a period, but not a crash by any means.
Yeah. Now, there were concerns that Brexit, you know, the impact it might have on the Irish economy. Did it give any pause for thought for Hines in terms of this project or some of the other projects you have underway at Ireland to maybe just sit in your hands for now and wait and see what the outcome from Brexit is?
I don't think so. I think in the UK, yes. I think in Ireland, if anything, What we've seen is greater office take-up in the city centre on the back of Brexit, so definitely we can see and track various companies, be it legal firms or banks or insurance companies, that have, you know, put a flag in Dublin, so to speak, that would not have done so were it not for Brexit. I also think many of the tech companies are expanding their footprint here, where they want that European workforce that they don't know if they can get in London going forward. So I think it's been very positive for Dublin. That's not to say it's positive for Ireland overall. Undoubtedly in the agricultural sector and other areas, some of those are going to be hit, just already being hit, I'm sure, from the uncertainty. But from a Dublin real estate perspective, Brexit, if anything, has been positive.
So Brian, we're walking over towards the window. We're looking north across the Liffey, across the city. You mentioned earlier that there's a very unique construction in this building. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we're looking out the window here and we can see 12 bars, if you want. Now, they're aluminium cladding, and within those, there's actually a very thin steel bar called a McAlloy bar. It's a very, very, very strong steel that is made in Sheffield in England. As part of the restoration, those have been fully restored. So we had to take off the shell, we had to clean them back, sandblast the actual original bars, double check them, and then you can see that they've all been perfectly put back together again. But each two of those bars are for each floor. So effectively, this floor, if you want, is held up on two of those bars. For each floor, you actually end up with 24 bars holding that floor. And that's the only thing holding this floor up, and then the core in the center. So it's a very unique...
It's essentially suspended from the roof, then.
Suspended from the roof. So up on the roof, you have a truss that hangs out over the edge. These bars drop down and then clip into the floor at the edge, and that's what holds it up. So it's clearly an incredible piece of engineering. When we stripped the bars down, we took one of them back to England. We tested it to stress tested to destruction. And indeed, it was as strong as the day was put in. So they're good for another few hundred years.
Right, that's good to know, especially as we're standing on, I don't know what floor it is. Brian, you must have had a lot of observations from people here who would have been quite fond of this building and the association it had with Sam Stevenson, who was a controversial but a well-loved architect in Ireland.
Yeah, so when we bought the building, we were very conscious that, and indeed many people reached out to us to say, what are the plans? So we spent quite a bit of time with the councillors, the local councillors. We spent time with Antashka, and also various residents and other groups from in around the area, various architectural experts, to get their opinions, to take them through. So we ran a series of meetings where, as we evolved our designs and the restorations, we actually showed them what we were going to do. And through that process, we got, you know, people were saying, it looks fine, it wasn't scary, they could see the idea was to fully restore all the key elements of the building. Yes, we are bringing a little bit of innovation to the roof and in and around the ground level, where we're making it way more active. If you remember when the plaza was there, you had these brutalist big walls. They will actually now be glass boxes with cafes and bars around them. So it'll add a lot more life to it. But it was done in a way that respected the original building, doesn't change the integrity of it. And indeed, the roof truss that nobody could ever see because it was hidden will actually be fully exposed. So you'll be able to see how the engineering actually works. And indeed, go up and have a meal sitting among all those bars and actually watch that and understand it a lot better. So a lot of buy-in from people.
There was talk of a hotel here at one time. Did you consider that?
We did. We looked at the hotel idea. But if you look at the floors where we are right now, by the time we put in bathrooms and all the services you need for a hotel, we actually were destroying the floor plates and breaking up the building too much. So when you look at an office open plan like this, actually it respects the building an awful lot more and indeed was more consistent with the original tent that Sam had when he designed it.
Now, presumably you're hoping this will become something of a tourist mecca as well, especially with the rooftop restaurant with 360 degree views of Dublin. I know down in the storehouse they have the Gravity Bar and that's very popular with tourists.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it will be. I think it's different to the Gravity Bar. Obviously, that's another experience. This is largely going to be food and beverage, so you'll be going there to have a drink or indeed going to have a meal. I imagine when it opens, because it'll be so unique, and particularly being able to dine at that level and to get those views, that'll become very, very popular. Hence why we've separated the entrance and put it completely separate from the rest of the building in case there is, so that they can manage the demand, actually, which is one of the things the operator is very concerned about.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your other projects in Ireland. Cherrywood is a big one that you have on the go at the minute.
Cherrywood has been a massive project for us, undoubtedly a huge undertaking. As you know, about 400 acres out there. We have built all the infrastructure at this point, by and large, most of the infrastructure, and opened up the land. The town centre element, we're on site with about 1,000 units currently. Another 400 will go on site early next year, and then the retail will follow. And then we've sold the rest of the housing land to other home builders outside the town centre, which was always part of our business plan, that we would, you know, stick with the more complex town centre elements, and then we bring in other builders to do those other elements. So if you go to Cherrywood today, you'll see about 10 cranes up in the town centre. It's a huge hive of activity. And going into next year, you're going to see three or four other home builder developers actively building out on the site. The parks are in. There's 83 acres of parks. The playing fields are there. We planted over 3,000 mature trees. They're about 4 metres tall. So they'll be about 6 metres tall by the time the first residents are moving in. And the Department of Education have just told us that they're now taking names for the first school that will open there next September, which they're going to open in prefabs, and then actually have their full first 700 pupil school open for the following year. So an awful lot of activity out there. That's been a big focus for us. The other big, large residential-led development we're doing right now is down at Bailey Gibson and Players Wills off the South Circular Road, and that we're in the pre-planning stage, about to lodge the first of a number of planning applications early next year. And again, a very exciting project right in the city centre, again residential-led, which, you know, big piece of work for us.
Yeah, sure. What about Clonliffe?
Well, we, as people have noted in the papers, we have been involved in discussions there. Let's see how that pans out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, this is the college that's been sold to the GAA, and the GAA is selling on a parcel of land. Essentially, that's what's happening there. You've also been name-checked against the Diageo development down at the St. James's Gate Brewery. I think you're one of three parties, is it? Still in
discussion? That's what we've read in the media, yes.
Right, well, you can fill us in right now. You can tell us the latest.
Well, I'd love to tell you more, but unfortunately, as you can imagine, my hands are tied on these sort of things as they are for other people as well.
Right. So is Heinz going to be a long-term investor in Ireland, or is it quick in, quick out?
So Heinz, we're now in 21 cities, if you want, or countries around the world. We're actually in 200 cities, but 21 countries. And Heinz don't enter a country unless they stay. So we've never entered a country and gone. So I actually worked with Heinz for the first time in Russia in the 90s when they entered the market there. And typically they go into the market and build a platform, which is, again, as a multi-product. So they're involved in asset management, development, retail, office. So become very established across, if you want, a wide base of real estate. And the whole agenda being that becomes a sustainable platform that stays forever. There's no agenda to leave whatsoever. It's very much about building a team here of Irish guys and girls who can develop complex, large real estate projects.
Anything else on your radar that we should know about? You can tell us anything now, Brian, you know that.
Well, look, I think, look, we, as a firm, we have a strong belief in the market here in Ireland. Certainly, I recently presented to the Heinz family in London about 2 weeks ago my annual business plan. And they, as part of that process, the capital markets team within Heinz have set me some very hard agenda in terms of investing here over the next number of years. So we have a lot of capital to invest across other mixed-use projects like this. So if we could find another project like this, we'd be very interested. Very interested in stabilised assets, and we're also very interested in developing more large master plan residential-led developments, such as Cherrywood or the Players-type development. They really are attractive to us. They're complex. They take, you know, many hundreds of millions to develop, but we do them in partnership with large pension funds who have a long 10, 15-year, you know, agenda. And that's kind of a nice type of investment to do because you're looking for stable long-term income. It's not about a quick in and out. It's about, you know, actually building them correctly up front so that from a maintenance perspective, they're not going to involve many repairs in the future.
Now, Brian, you're an experienced property professional. In your view, is the government and the planners in this city, are they doing the right things in terms of property? Are we building too many offices versus residential? Were they right in removing the cap, for example, on the height of buildings and changing the spec for apartments and introducing schemes like Help to Buy, or are we going down the wrong path?
I think if you read, you know, Rebuilding Ireland, the fundamentals are very positive. I think they've identified the pillars, and most of the actions taken are very positive and will lead to a lot more development. I don't think we're building any more offices. We're building enough offices. We need more. As you see, every bit of office that's built in Dublin is absorbed. So I don't think it's not a case of resi versus offices. We do have one challenge, and I think that is in the higher density urban apartments, which are so expensive to build. So it works for a pension fund renting them out. That's a profitable business. But to build an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, just to pay the contractor, it costs us about €350,000. If you add on some site costs and some profit and finance fees to the bank, you're at about €450,000 for a two-bedroom apartment. that's not, you know, a first-time buyer's price point, and that is a challenge. And we have to look at other cities like London and other countries that have found ways to develop affordable apartments. Otherwise, people who are looking for affordable purchase are going to have to go further out of the city, and that's not a good idea. Obviously, there are plenty of people who are happy to do that, but I think we have to find, I think the one thing we have to focus on is finding a way to get the price point of apartments for purchase down in the city centre, and that is a real challenge, partially because the apartment code's very good. I think they make a lot of sense. We're now in line with the European norms. But you know, we're constantly ratcheting up the performance of buildings in terms of NZEB, which is the near zero energy requirements of the buildings. And all these things add, you know, it's 10,000 here, it's 15,000 there. They all add to the cost of apartments. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but we've got to recognize when we make a policy decision to do this, it's actually pushing the making the apartment less and less accessible to a first-time buyer or somebody who wants to buy, albeit there's plenty of people who rent them, and that's fine, and that's, you know, one part of the market. But we have to see a stronger purchase market in apartments.
And Brian, you have been in the game a long time. You must get a kick out of a project like this when you finally get to open it, you finally get to cut the ribbon, some politician or local planner or celebrity or whatever comes along and does the honours for you, and no doubt that'll happen when you finish up here.
I think so. I think when that moment happens, you're also tempered by the scars of all the challenges you have to build it, you know, on a wet, windy day like today, when, you know, you don't get the productivity you want, you know, and contractors are slower, and you've challenges. But, you know, as you say, when the door finally opens and the ribbon gets cut, you tend to forget all of that, and you look at the positivity of what's actually been done.
All right. Well, Brian, we wish you luck on this site. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's it for this week from Inside Business. My thanks to Brian Moran and his colleagues at Hines for facilitating our visit to Central Plaza. Declan Conlon produced the show with JJ Vernon as sound engineer. Remember, you can get the latest business news straight into your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email at irishtimes.com. And you can also follow the Irish Times business feed on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn each day. I'm Ciarán Hancock. Until next time, take care.